Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Odds makers say Republican Andrew Jones has a slim chance at best of winning the election in a city in which Democrats dominate, but he is running as if he can win. Andrew Jones joins me by phone to talk about his campaign. So nice to have you with us.
It's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here.
You know, we spoke just after your primary victory, and I asked a question that I'll repeat for those who may not have heard that, and that is, you know, what can your strategy be in a campaign in a city that is so overwhelmingly a Democratic in its political registrations?
Well, fundamentally, what you have to do, you have to have a baseline with your campaign and your philosophy and policy where it resonates with people, because certainly we're trying to get people to do something that they normally would not do, and that is to consider the other side. And certainly we have to be comprehensive in our delivery and our knowledge base. We certainly don't have to take notes or anything like that. We just speak from what I've learned and our investigation. And it has to be something that tells people that we are the change that people are looking for. We are the change that will stop the negative trajectory of the city of St. Louis and move us in an era where we can be more positive.
What part of your message do you think is resonating most clearly right now?
I think at this particular point in time, it's more or less coming up with ideas and solutions that seem like they are just common sense approaches to getting significant problems solved. And the other component part of it is to get people to understand that the change that they need cannot come from the same personalities, the same policies that have inflicted the negatives on the city that currently exists.
What changes do they need?
The changes at this particular point in time, I would humbly submit to anyone to consider, is the fact that we need to look at things at a point where they are more focused on, I'm so sorry, something happened in the background here, where we're looking at things where we were going to try to change things based on the fact that policies for policing, policies for economic development, policies for helping to strengthen our schools and to get people engaged, citizens and stakeholders engaged. We have to have those policies that make sense, that people can fall in line with, and also get them to understand that leadership is absolutely needed to help deliver the change that we're needing.
We'll get to some details of those policy proposals of yours in a couple of moments. But first, we had Lyda Crewson on the program a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and she said that she has a history of getting things done. She points to neighborhood development, prescription drug monitoring, which is one of her causes, fighting, as she put it, for common sense gun laws. What sorts of things can you point to offer the voters?
Well, first of all, the major problem that the city of St. Louis has right now, and it is part of a PR problem as well, is that we have violent crime. Violent crime at a level that is not unprecedented, because we know in the 1990s we had violent crime at that level as well, at a very similar level. But the drivers for this one are particularly different. And when we're looking at with the drivers here, we're looking at the violent crime being associated with narcotics. I was one of the first persons to say anything specifically about it being connected with narcotics, and that our policing agency knows exactly who these perpetrators are, that they commit probably over 80% of the crimes that exist, those violent crimes in the city of St. Louis. And if we can prohibit that from growing, we will have a great opportunity of changing the narrative on how people in the surrounding metropolitan area sees the city, people domestically throughout the United States see the city, and even globally. So we can open it up to consideration to each and every one of them that St. Louis is open for business and that we have the peripheral things that we should control under control.
But, you know, the city police and police all over the country have been fighting the drug problem for a great many years now. What can you offer that would make them more effective in this?
Well, and again, when I talk about crime here and crime prevention, we certainly understand the peripheral types of solutions for those, community policing, things of that nature. I think we do a phenomenal job, and I know that we can get absolutely better at doing that. But we're talking about concentrating on that very small element within the city of St. Louis that commit these heinous, violent crimes that has everyone lurching back and certainly lamenting about. And you can change that narrative and that reality by having a focused task force. We also want to be able to immediately move in that direction with a task force to address those needs, but secondarily and also collaboratively with that, we want to determine why we don't have a narcotics division dedicated to dealing with this particular problem. We have to get that shored up. We have to understand the reason behind not having a narcotics division when it is contributing mostly to this violent and heinous crime. And I think when you start there, you'll find out we can precipitously drop the level of participation of violent crime for the city of St. Louis.
What about the areas of criminal justice reform, reform within the correction system, those sorts of things?
Well, certainly we want to be able to look at those. We certainly want to be able to ensure that violent criminals or criminals with illegal handguns, that they are prosecuted to the full extent of the law and that they don't become repeat offenders. Certainly we want to look at and make sure that we are extending unparalleled justice, constitutional law extension, civil justice to all people who've come before the courts, and we want to look at it through that lens. We certainly don't want to have any biases associated with it, but we certainly have to be punitive when there is an opportunity to be punitive to those who want to commit heinous crimes against the citizens and stakeholders of the city of St. Louis. So certainly we're looking at reform in that area as well.
What about the areas of economic development? That's one of the key planks of your platform.
Economic development, I certainly have been very critical of the city of St. Louis and its outside agencies or connected agencies, particularly when you talk about the entitlement component part of economic development. Most people, most municipalities, most practitioners don't want to leave with those levels of economic development, TIFs, enterprise zones, and other incentive packages where they are being utilized to take taxpayers' money. We are saying that the city of St. Louis, the best practices for the city of St. Louis is to promote its bounty of intermodal opportunities here, railways, airways, waterways, all the infrastructure, the low cost of doing business here in the city of St. Louis. And this is in particular what most prospects are looking for. Can they make money? And it still comes back and dovetails with a common sense approach and analysis that you can't make money when people perceive that there's violence. Therefore, we have to get rid of that violence element so that we can distinguish ourselves to let people know that we are here to do business and that we have a viable workforce.
Am I understanding you correctly? Are you suggesting that you would want to cut back on TIFs and tax abatement then?
Certainly we'll want to cut back on those because, again, those are things that generally are presented at the tail end of negotiations and deals, and certainly what you want to utilize those for and use them for a very thin amount of margin and not these hefty sums that we're hearing about to differentiate your city in a very competitive competition on whether or not we're going to compete with other municipalities, cities that are distant from the St. Louis area. You offer TIFs possibly at that particular point in time, but you certainly don't lead with them, and you certainly don't lead with them with the amounts that people are asking for. Because, again, the city has enough bounty with all the infrastructures and everything else I mentioned earlier that we are an attractive entity for any business to make money, and that's what businesses are in business to do, to make money.
But I think supporters of TIFs and tax abatement would say that clearly the city would not be where it is today in terms of its development, what development has occurred without it.
Well, I would say that now you're looking at whether or not the cart is before the horse. Certainly, if you've done things backwards for so long, it certainly makes sense that you possibly believe that you have to continue to do so. But if there's a lack of fiduciary responsibility, no controls over cost and spending, and the ideals and philosophies and policies that seem like they were created by, dare I say, amateurs, then certainly you have to continue to go to the trough to get all of these things done and implemented in order to draw someone to the city of St. Louis. And we're saying we need change. We need change that actually work and best practices that actually work to get us back into the ball game. Because if we can get the spending and costs under control, policy under control, certainly we can attract businesses to this city.
Well, attracting people to the city is problematical in one area that is spoken of often, and that is our school system. That it's better than it was, but it could still be much better yet. You say that you will strengthen schools. How, as mayor, would you or could you do that?
Well, we can do that by using our bully pulpit and the cachet of the office to talk about and to investigate to determine where we are relative to our schools and being proficient in what they do. We certainly know that they have an accreditation at this particular point in time. Dare I say, and I've mentioned this on the panels, that it may be somewhat provisional. I know that language is not being used, but certainly I want to keep an eye on it because we know that methodology in trying to get your accreditation may not totally encompass all students being evaluated, and sometime and somewhere they will be evaluated, and we're certainly hoping that things will go well. So therefore, we want to ensure that we have the best curriculums, our teachers are certified, we have the infrastructure in play. And what I really would like to do, and as part of the bully pulpit, is to meet at least monthly with some of the PTAs, PTOs, and see can we do some level of collaboration so that we can sit down and talk about the most critical component part of the advancement of children's education is parental involvement. Certainly, if we can improve in those particular areas with everything else being solid, certainly we will see a dramatic change in what happens to the evolution of our children in educational pursuit.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Did they attend or do they attend public schools?
They're all in their 30s now. They're both in their 30s now, and they did go to the city schools, except for my last child. She ended up transferring to a parochial school.
We have to take a break in just a moment, but there's an issue that has just recently surfaced I'd like to get your take on, and that is a proposal by Mayor Slay that the airport be privatized. Do you have an opinion on that?
After the break or before the break?
Before the break.
Before the break, my only thing is that certainly you can entertain mostly anything, but we have to have quantitative analysis to determine whether or not it's a great idea. We know that Midway up in Chicago, I think they investigated doing it there. Other cities have investigated, but they certainly didn't launch forward with those particular projects. Something came back that determined that it wasn't a great idea at this particular point in time, and certainly I would probably look at it through that same lens. I would need to have absolute good information, a thorough, comprehensive analysis, and I think that's what they're proposing to do. But certainly we don't want to make a knee-jerk response to doing anything like we do with just about everything else, including the MLS.
But on a gut level, does it have any appeal to you as a businessman?
Very little at this particular point in time, but certainly we need data to make a quantitative analysis of it.
All right, let's take that break now. We are talking with Andrew Jones, who is the Republican candidate for mayor of St. Louis. We'll come back and continue that conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Andrew Jones. Well, we just had a headline concerning soccer and in St. Louis. Mr. Jones, your feeling about Propositions 1 and 2, which would take us in that direction?
Well, certainly I'm against it. I certainly don't believe – certainly wished it hadn't reached the point where it is now on the ballot. I believe with economic development, you have to do a thorough and comprehensive analysis. You certainly shouldn't have knee-jerk reaction to any initiative or proposal that comes to you. I think you should look at it as objectively as possible and get as much empirical information as possible. Therefore, with the MLS, when you look at the history of MLS, if someone sets the proposal on your desk, you certainly have to understand and realize that MLS has not been profitable since its inception. 21 years ago. So certainly that would make you question whether or not we should proceed and move forward. And there's very little conventional financing for this project as well. So that would also make you think that this project is not absolutely appealing. And if we're looking at substantive input from taxpayers' money, I certainly believe that whoever was doing that particular analysis and negotiating with this particular project certainly didn't have the taxpayers' interest at heart, because they were taking on high risk. And ultimately what happens is that when the projects fail, the taxpayers pay for it, and they're asked for additional funding to be able to help cure the ills of what comes from the particular failed project.
So you'll be voting against Proposition 2?
Certainly. That would be an absolute yes. I will be against it.
How about 1, which would assist funding for Metrolink expansion?
Well, again, my assessment with Metrolink, understanding Metrolink and Bi-State for years growing up in the city and having to ride back and forth from Illinois to St. Louis, I certainly understand that Bi-State, the busing system, does a phenomenal job. It does an outstanding job. It provides great transportation throughout the metropolitan statistical area. at a very effective and efficient rate. Certainly, there's always room for improvement. But if we're looking at aesthetic types of things or leaving legacies behind by extending a Metrolink rail system north and south where it's really not needed at this particular point in time, I question the validity and the thinking on trying to push something forward like that. I am certainly for modernization. I'm certainly for innovation and growth. But at this particular point in time, with the financial position that we are in the city of St. Louis, I just can't justify adding additional Metrolink expansion when it's certainly not needed in a functional way to get people back and forth to potential jobs and transportation to other parts of the area where they need to do business. Our bus system does a fantastic job in getting those areas that are disinvested in and depressed to where they need to go.
But supporters say it absolutely is. There is a functional need because particularly in the northern part of the city, the people have to have access to transportation to get to jobs.
Well, again, my point, my retort to each and every one of them is to show me that that is an absolute need where the North and South Rail is going. The highest ridership in the metropolitan area is in the north side of the city. People on the north side of the city have great transportation. They've always utilized the transportation more and more. And the areas where the proposal is, well, certainly we have buses that will get us to where we need to go. The ridership on those particular areas where it's more depressed, they do a phenomenal job of getting people where they're going. I would like to see a data or study showing that people on the north side of the city, where the predominant ridership is, can't get to where they need to go. The lowest ridership are in those areas where we're looking at putting light rail.
So you're voting against Proposition 1 as well?
Certainly.
All right. Just as an aside here, probably should have talked about this when we were talking about crime, but I wonder if you have any feelings as to the recent fatal shooting at a Metrolink stop is likely to have any impact on that vote.
Well, certainly if we can ensure that we have adequate security at those particular stops, I believe that we get a collaborative impact between the city police officers, the county police officers administrations, and with Metrolink, with their security officers, I certainly believe that if we're making sure that we're having the best impact with the best practices, I certainly believe that we can reduce a lot of those types of incidents, those unfortunate incidents that led to the death of this gentleman. But certainly, poor conduct will not be stopped by turnstiles with high capital costs. Certainly won't be stopped by other mechanisms and measures that I'm hearing that I say are knee-jerk reactions to what has happened there. But certainly what we want to do is ensure that we are implementing the best practices. Certainly want to ensure that we can get more police officers involved. And those are the things that we need to be concentrating on, getting the adequate number of staffing of police officers to be able to provide safety for all of our citizens and stakeholders and not make a knee-jerk response to something that happened that is absolutely tragic. But certainly we don't want to overwhelm our system, particularly our financial system, for trying to cure something where we'll get more money again from the people who can least afford to do it through their taxing.
Well, while we're talking about such things as the propositions, let me get your take on a couple of others that carry significant weight, I think, with a lot of people. Proposition A, which would consolidate the assessor's office and the recorder of deeds. Is that something that you could support?
Well, I would not support it. I was asked that question recently, and I'm still under the deliberation because I was trying to determine how can you reduce a department, a very small relative size department, to cover the cost for body cameras, if that's the objective and the means to get those body cameras. I'm saying if we had produced and did the correct things with fiduciary responsibility, cost containment, things of that nature, we would have the money to be able to pay for those cameras. Now, if there's some other administrative issue that they want to do this, that's the driver, I certainly don't want to look at it from that perspective. I certainly want to look at it from the perspective that this will probably not provide the funding. It will have a negative impact on those, on the personnel that's associated with it, and we certainly don't want to just rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, in that type of philosophy in order to make up where we've had shortfalls in our understanding and policies.
So it's a no vote from Andrew Jones on Proposition A?
Certainly.
Okay. And now Proposition NS. This is a biggie. There are an awful lot of vacant houses in St. Louis, and we're going to be talking about that in our next segment. But this would provide a funding mechanism to really stabilize literally thousands of these places. Is this something you can support?
Well, I believe this is another a Band-Aid over a bigger wound, so to speak. because you're looking at stabilization within the language, and I've read it back and forth, and I'm steadily trying to find out where's the specificity, where's the focus in the language that says what we're going to do. Now, we can hear people say and talk about, well, we can put a bank accounts aside for this type of money if we don't have particular projects right away. But I think the alluring language is stabilization. And language is a very funny thing because it can lure people to sleep to say, well, they're doing and they want to do a great thing, but we know the pathway to hell, old saying, a pathway to hell leads with good intentions. Just because they're saying so and there's no specificity, that is what is really alarming to me. And I come back to, if we are looking at utilizing the best practices in economic development, something that we certainly don't do within the city of St. Louis, we don't have a comprehensive plan in economic development specific for the city of St. Louis. Certainly there's one for a regional concept, but not for the city in and of itself, or other outsiders who've conducted their own specialized comprehensive plan, so to speak. But the city doesn't have one. That means we're just throwing it up against the wall, and that approach of having a slush fund, so to speak, of money sitting there with no specificity on where it goes, that alarms me, and it scares me, so I'll be against that as well.
Well, stay tuned to our next segment. Maybe we can get some specificity for you from our guests.
Thanks,
all right? I'm going to take a quick call before our time runs out, Mr. Jones. We'll bring in Phil calling from St. Louis. He has a question for you. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the air.
First of all, I'd like to say, Mr. Jones, I love everything that you say, and I pray that you become the next mayor. I live in Illinois, but I pay the city taxes, and I'm in the city all the time. But I feel with the on the weekends with the parking meters, you know, I know it seems like it's kind of a small thing, but I feel that it's, you know, having to pay because I don't want to take the MetroLink. I'm too concerned about that, and I like to take my car over for events on the weekends, but then I have to pay, you know, the meters and things, and you know, that I don't really particularly care for that. But and you, like you said, we're not like any other cities. Why look at other cities and see what they're doing and you know, make things that we're doing here? And also, if there was any way that you could go to Larry Rice and maybe work some deal out with him that you can get his voters and that he would pull out.
Well, on the latter part, on the question with Larry Rice, certainly I would like to talk. I would talk with anyone if they have that as part of their objective. But I believe Mr. Rice has his own mission in mind, and I believe that he believes that this is a great cause for him. But that still doesn't deter the fact that we believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train, that we're moving forward with great momentum. People are interested, and when they hear the message, it resonates with them. And I think we're building a great enough coalition that certainly will entertain anything. And we certainly want the assistance and help, because the whole thing for us is about uplifting the city of St. Louis, turning it around from its 66-year plunge and adding a new face, a new idea, and new policies that actually work. Then we'll think things through and do a quantitative analysis to determine how we should make a move instead of just doing knee-jerk things.
We have to bring this conversation to a close, but I'll give you a few seconds to make a final point. If there's something you'd like to leave our listeners with, go ahead and do it.
Well, hopefully we can get people to come to the Omega Center at 3900 Goodfellow to sit down and listen to a two-hour question and answer period that we're going to have tomorrow night, Tuesday, from 6 to 8 p.m., and every question is embraced. Nothing is off the table to discuss. This is the third of a series of three, and we're looking forward to talking with people so that they can understand what we're trying to accomplish, how we're going to accomplish this, and we're getting a lot of people to turn and change their minds, and we're hoping that they'll vote for us April 4th. And if you need more information, go to Andrew Jones for Mayor, F-O-R, AndrewJonesForMayor.com, and we'll have information there. But certainly we look forward to seeing anyone, and we certainly appreciate being on this program to be able to express our message.
Thank you. We'll put a link to your website on ours at stlpublicradio.org so folks can find it that way as well. Andrew Jones, thank you very much for being with us.
No, thank you.
He is the Republican candidate for mayor of St. Louis on the April 4th election. We'll be talking with independent and third-party candidates for mayor later this week. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.